Blog Talk Radio.
We can tell by the look in your eyes, gang. Come on, right here.
All right. Shalom, everybody. It's a beautiful day. Everybody in the house, it's a beautiful day. This is the first day of the week. We Israel. We're on our way home. The punishment is almost over. And what else can you ask for? You know, it's just amazing. It's a beautiful time to be alive. I know we say it all the time, but every time we turn around, there's some new people waking up, and we got to be an anchor for the new people that's waking up. It's just a miracle, you know, to know what you know and to be who you are and to live the life that we're living right now is amazing. It is nobody but the Most High Yah. Can't be nobody else but Him. To be able to hide something in plain sight. The Bible's been sitting on the counter on the mantelpiece forever. And the story that you was told was the story that you accepted, but it's a whole other story within a story, and your eyes got to be open in order to see it. And, you know, like I said, it's something when the players get played. You know, you're like, wow, I didn't even see this. But it's all right because it's all good, you know, because we're here now. And, you know, to be alive and to be awake at this time in the juncture, we got a lot of family members that we walk past in our houses every day and look at them, and they have not a clue as to what's going on, and you right in the same house with them, living the same, under the same roof, living a totally different life. You know, we don't live our best life. And it's just something, I'm telling you, it's like, wow, you know, but you know, yesterday I enjoyed the class yesterday. I enjoyed calculating the High Holy Day. I think that we all understand it now and understand how to calculate it, and if you don't, you can contact me and I will show you how to do it so that we don't have a complicated mess on our hands. Let's say it like that. Because everybody didn't get it and catch it at the same time, and some people were echoing in the background. And it was fun, though. It's always fun. That's a class that I have to prepare myself for. That's why I've been putting it off for so long, because, you know, everybody don't get it, and everybody gets upset because they don't get it. But if you just stop and pay attention, it's really, really easy. It don't take that long to get. You know, and understand that that the Enochian calendar is 364 days, and that 7 divides into 364 days, 52 weeks. You know, it goes into it flawlessly. So I mean, it's just not. I think the thing that blew my mind was that the equal parts night and the equal parts day fell on a Wednesday, which is the fourth day of the week, which is the same day of the week that the Most High created the sun and the moon. It's unbelievable. I was like, wow, day of the week, because Sunday is the first day of the week on a true calendar. And I was just like, whoa, this is really something, I'm telling you. But, you know, nevertheless, it's me getting excited over the things that are simple. You know, when he put it right there, it's just so much in that Bible. You know, and even though they tried to tamper with it, they can't mess with y'all's story, because he fixed the story with enough stuff in the story that we can find ourselves, find our exit strategy, know what we did wrong, and know where we're going. And that's all we need, really, at the end of the day. You know, so I'm really getting excited. We're 6 months away from our punishment ending. It seems like the 2019 Day of Repentance is falling into place. You know, the Most High has put people in our path that are doing things for us and getting things prepared. I'm getting excited about that. It's just, it's all falling into place. And it's all falling into place, you know. So it has really been an interesting weekend for me. But nevertheless, we're here again. This is another Sunday. This is another first day of the week. As we begin our week, you know, we have to be a strong tower for the people that are beginning to wake up. Like the young man said yesterday when he asked the question about, you know, watching his nieces and nephews have to go to the schools that are in this society, and they have to be taught the things that they have to be taught. You know, and I just wanted to, you know, to reiterate that, you know, because everybody was like, I don't think everybody was clear yesterday. They weren't clear enough. I got a lot of feedback yesterday, like, we need to clear it up for that young man so he understands. You know, and I think that, you know, the biggest thing that I want you to understand, if you're still listening, is that we're in captivity. And once you understand that, we're a nation in exile, which means that we've been far removed from our land, we've been far removed from our culture, we've been far removed from our language, and we've been far removed from our Elohim. And the reasoning behind that is what I think that sums it up is Ezekiel chapter 20, because he told us in Ezekiel chapter 20 what we did, what our forefathers did, and that betrayal took place in the wilderness. And as a result of that, he pronounced a judgment and a curse on us, and this is where we are today. And not only because of that, the Most High saw this betrayal when he implemented a 400-year punishment to Abraham. He saw the betrayal. He knew it in advance that we were going to betray him. And he told Abraham, this is how long they're going to be there. But when we got to Mount Sinai, because he saw what we were going to do, and we did anyway, he said, these are the things that's going to happen to you while you're there. So we're among the nations, scattered all over the world, the same people who we were trying to imitate, and the same people whose gods we were trying to serve. And we're in these lands. And as long as you're in these lands, you have to do what the land requires you to do in order to survive. So you're not going to go into their schools and they're going to teach our history. They're going to teach theirs. And how inflated it is, or how true it is, or how not true it is just something that we have to accept. The only thing that we can do for our children is when they come home, we have to deprogram them and teach them ours so that they understand, no, that's not how the story went. This is how the story went. And as a result of us being in captivity, all the other nations got wealthy. And Paul told them that when he was talking in the book of Romans. He said that because of their downfall became the wealth of the other people, so of the other nations. So, you know, these are the things that we have to make sure that we implement to our children that they understand. I see your area code 928. You know, and we have to be able to say, you know, this is why we're here. This is what our forefathers did to make us, to allow us to be here. But they have created educational institutions that in order for you to get paid a decent amount of money, for the most part, you have to learn how to do something. And you, whether you take a trade or whether you go to academia, you have to go and get something, a piece of paper to say, I have completed your educational requirements and I'm qualified to be able to perform certain duties. And there's a pay requirement that goes along with that. And the perfect example of that in the scriptures is Joseph and Daniel. He left examples for us to be able to understand what it is like being in captivity. He left examples. You know, Daniel was a government man. He was the right-hand man to the king. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, but he ended up being the governor of Egypt. You know, and as we watched those two men and the things that they did and the positions that they were in while they were yet, well, Joseph wasn't in captivity, but Daniel was, you know, and Daniel had interactions with angels. He spoke to the Most High, but at the same time, his job was to be there for the king. So, you know, as we know these things, then we use those as examples and we can watch as an example of what it is to be in captivity. You know, I used to be around a lot of Israelite brothers and sisters who were trying to create their own government within a government. And, you know, and I used to say, well, that's not going to work because, and I'm going to give you an example, not being married the right way. Oh, we don't have to be married the way the beasts get married, or we don't have to be. I said, well, Joseph did. I said, when Joseph became governor of Egypt, he didn't come up to the Pharaoh and say, I'm an Egyptian. I mean, I'm an Israelite. We don't do things that way. He got married to an Egyptian woman, and he had an Egyptian ceremony. You know, so when we're here, in order for us to reap the benefits of these places, we have to do it the way they do it, as long as it does not interfere with God's law. But you can't create your own law in a land that you're not able to make laws, because we're in exile. We are descendants of slaves. And when we realize that, it'll make it a whole lot easier for us. And it doesn't mean that you can't have anything here. Because some people have educated themselves and they live good. And my thing is, live the best you can until we get out of here. But to just say we shouldn't support and we shouldn't do, we have to in order to eat. And some people have gone off into some of these groups all over to the left, and they're doing some crazy stuff, you know, and all they're eating off the land. All that's well and good if that's how you want to do it, but you have to understand that there's going to be certain restrictions that come with that. You know, I'm not going to live in no subgroup up in the hills in the woods somewhere. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay where I need to stay and go to the job that I have until the most I say I don't go no more. So I just wanted to be able to share that. And the best thing we can do for our children is to educate our children and let them know how to calculate the high holy days, know what our culture is all about, know what we did, know where we came from, know who we are as a people. Because some people have gotten so comfortable with this that this is all they want to know, especially the ones that's not woke. And it is very difficult to be in a household where you have, and you're the only one woke. It is. I know. Hold on, let me open up her mic. Area code 928, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Well, I was just wondering when Moses died, Satan was arguing over the body of Moses, but I realized that the Messiah didn't come yet to redeem us and forgive us of our sins. So I'm just wondering, is it because of that that he was arguing over the body of Moses that some things were not perfect in his life? So because we know that he has power to forgive sins here on earth, and he's over all flesh, the Messiah, I believe that. So when you say that he married outside of his tribe, that...
Who are you talking about, Joseph?
No, I was saying, I thought you said that Moses had married an
Egyptian woman. I said Joseph. Joseph married an Egyptian woman.
Okay, because he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's funny that he didn't say some other ones that we find... as the patriarch of our Hebrew faith and nation. So the Messiah hadn't come to forgive sins yet, but it behooves us all to follow Yah and his son. That's an example. I'm not saying that some people say, well, they follow Paul. I don't follow Paul because I know Yah, and the son came in the father's name. So we got to follow both of those. And I'm just going to stay on a strict path. I'm just going to stay on a strict path of following the Father and the Son and what the Son ordained here on earth, because he came in his Father's name and established his Father's will again. I'm just going to stay on a real strict path. I'm going to stay on a real strict path here. I know y'all don't think, some people are going to think I'm crazy, but I just feel like it's just going to be a tight, tight path.
And it will eventually. It will. I agree with you. It will eventually, you know. But speaking of Joseph, when he was in Egypt, how the Most High used him to preserve a nation and allow certain things to happen, and he married an Egyptian woman. It was no different than Esther. I mean, you know, when you look at the story of Esther, Queen Esther, I mean, you know, the Most High used her for the sake of saving a nation, and he gave her a kingdom. And she married a man that was not Israel. You know, so he's sovereign to do what he wants to do when he needs something to get done, you know, but at the same time, you know, when we talk about us as a nation as a whole, we have to do what we need to do to survive in the lands of our captivity. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
You know, and that means getting married to, you know, having a wedding and doing whatever you need to do. You can do both. You can have an Israelite wedding and a regular wedding.
And what you got to remember also is that some people are going to be sojourners, and they fit in with Israel still. I mean, some of the kings were sojourners. But we still consider ourselves, no matter what our race, if we're following within the Hebrews, we're going to consider ourselves Hebrew Israelites. We're in their camp.
Well, I mean, they can consider themselves Israelites, but they're not. The Israelite is the Israelite by birth, and the Most High knows who Israel is, and they will.
Right. But
you
I'm
know,
saying,
what
with
you have strangers. Yeah, you have
right.
strangers that will come with us, and not to
right.
mention,
but
you know,
first.
I look at a lot of the biracial women that have biracial children. Of course, they're going to come with their children.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's real. That's
come with a servitude.
Children.
We come with a servitude mind and a humble spirit. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. That's how we're going to end up being a speckled bird. I mean, we got so many different shades and colors to us, you know, and interracial children that are Israel by nationality, you know, that even their mothers are going to come with them. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a very interesting group of people before it's all said and done. It just is. You know, so, you know, but while we're here, and I just want to deal with that, while we're here, we have to do what's necessary to be able to survive in these societies, and that means you got to get up and go to work every day. I can't survive without working. I have to work every day. I have bills to come in every 30 days, and they have to be paid every 30 days, so I have to go to work. I would love to be able to stay home and not have to work and do Israel all the time, but the Most High has not allowed me to do that yet. But in the meantime, I have to get up and go to work. So we can't just be so against the captivity that we're in to the point we don't want to be around those people. No, you still got to work. You know, and a lot of people have changed since they've come aboard to Israel to realize you still got to get up every day and go to work. Hold on. Area code 405, your mic is open. Go ahead, you on the air.
Shalom, shalom. I had just a slight, small testimony. I enjoyed Sabbath Shabbat yesterday. And I learned a lot, and I'm still learning because I really want to know into the, is that Gregorian? Or what calendar is that?
The Enochian calendar.
Okay. That right there make a lot of sense because I've been kind of, you know, following, well, you know, in class with other, you know, Israelites, and they have the same, you know, had the same pattern, you
mm-hmm.
know, and but they hadn't
mm-hmm.
really taught it, you know. All they tell, you know, is to let us know when the, you know, the Passover and all the feast days. However, didn't really show how they got that,
mm-hmm.
which followed. But I also got, you know, went and got a calendar, someone offered a calendar, but the calendar that was totally off.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you know, I need to learn that. But I that was just a little bit. But what I wanted to say today, this is a quick testimony, was that, you know, I've been really learning a lot since I've only been in the way since, for about 2 years, and it's so much that I'm like a sponge, you know, and I really depend on, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach, to guide me on some teachings, and some, if it says that, I go away from it, you know. So far since
mm-hmm.
I've been here, everything, you know, has been right on, you know, as far as my spirit is concerned.
Are you sure?
And I just like to reiterate that I was, you know, woke up this morning and I, you know, I've been feeling like, you know, I'm alone. You know, sometimes we feel we're out there, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit had me to get up and get dressed and go to my daughter's church. Her husband is a assistant pastor, and, you know, they're still out there, you know, the Christians. But her husband, he has been learning under me because he's been really, he even asked his pastor if he could, you know, he works every other Saturday and,
mm-hmm.
and every other Sunday. So he asked his pastor if he could have Saturday church, you know, when
mm-hmm.
he's off.
Oh, wow.
So he's been doing that. And then, you know, they have a creed in their church now, which is Deuteronomy 28, but they only go so far, like Deuteronomy 28:13. Mm-hmm. And then they say, we believe in the scriptures and then what the Lord, you know, these scriptures and all that. But they don't go all the way up, you know. So I know my son-in-law is trying to feed that to his pastor. But I went, and I know the Most High had me to go is because, you know, they had a pastor there or a minister there from back east, and I live on the West Coast. And he was here, and he got up, and he said he don't know why, and he kept looking at me. He said, you know, the Spirit had led him this way. So he went to Matthew, I think, 28, and he started, you know, speaking about, you know, when John was beheaded and how, you know, he was just saying that how, you know, the Christ, you know, I call him Yahashua, you know, he had went into the wilderness. And he said, some of us are in the wilderness. And I said, and he looked at me, and I'm like, yeah, I do feel like I'm in the wilderness, you know. But at the same time, I'm in the right place. But, you know, the wilderness, like you alone, you know, like everybody is, you know, doing their thing. And they saying that you're in the wrong. And I know I've been in the Christian church and Pentecost all my life. And when I got out 2 years ago, you know, I have my pastor's wife and different other missionaries, all the saints. Everybody was saying, what is wrong with her? You know, why is she acting strange? Now she don't even come. She's not even doing this. Well, you know, and I don't even explain myself. I just tell them, I say, you know what? I believe maybe just like you, but I'm going a different direction. You know, the Most High is in the wilderness, and I'm learning from there, and I know who I am. And so, he was speaking to me, and at the same time, he said, "What else?" But he said, "Why are you there?" He said, "When Jesus got into the wilderness, he said, and the people followed him." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "When they followed him because they knew who, you know, he was teaching. And when they followed him in the wilderness, what did they do? They got hungry. And then he took those two little fishes and five loaves of bread, and he fed them." He said, only because, he said, and he said they had 12 baskets left, 12 now. He said, and these disciples obeyed him, you know, obeyed Christ. And he did what he was told to do. So therefore, he said, be obedient. And he pointed at me, be obedient. And he said, stay in the wilderness until the Most High bring you out. And I said, that was me. Service was over. It was only a two-hour service. I lifted my hand, and my daughter said, you're not going to stay longer for the, you know, meal? Or what, are we going to feed everybody? I said, I got my meal. I'm on my way.
All right.
And I'm going to go back on mute, so.
All right, no problem. Hallelujah. All praise to the Lord. The Most High works in mysterious ways. You know, you just have to. You have to allow him to do whatever it is he's doing. You know, you never know what position he'll put you in, how he will use you to be a witness to your family. You just never know, you know. You never know, you know. So if you felt led to do that, you know, who am I? I mean, you know, all praises to the Most High, yeah, to be able to go in and be a witness because he's truly using you. So, you know, with the school and your grandkids and all of that, you know, this, like I said, when this thing is all over with, we're going to be a heck of a nation when we finally do come together and we begin to go down on our knees to understand why we're going down on our knees, you know, because it's only when he opens up your eyes do you realize, you know, that the things and the systems that we were in were run by the enemy. They really were. And it was another deity that was in there, you know, and it's like, it's all praises to the Most High God. I just thank him and praise him. You know, for the journey, because the journey has been very interesting. You all are extremely interesting people, you know. And I don't know you, you know, I've never met you. All of this is virtual, you know, but you're extremely interesting people, you know, and that God has brought you, you know, because he's the one who has led you here, you know, and it's just a miracle. I was like, wow, you know, look at these are God's people. You know, and and I pray for us all the time, our nation as a whole, our elderly people, our black people that look like they have just been drugged through the mud. I pray for them because they don't even understand who they are and they don't understand whose they are. you know, and it's just something when you have been beaten and downtrodden for years and years and years and years and years, you know, to go into an institution that tells you you are Gentile and tells you that you should be privileged to be able to have access to a God that's yours all along. When you finally realize that he's your God all along, he was yours from the beginning, it changes, it gives people hope. You know, that we don't have to come in. I'm not saying we don't have to be humble, because we always have to be humble. But we don't have to come in as a second-class citizen, because we belong to him in the first place. He said, I chose you. I chose you to be my people. So there's nothing that anybody can say, you know, and now that black people are understanding that we are chosen and understanding that we are his, it gives you a different hope. I'm telling you, it gives you a sense of pride, the good kind. You know, it gives you a sense of worth, self-worth, you know, because we were told we had to come through the door as a Gentile and be glad to be grafted in. We didn't have to be grafted in. We have the bloodline running through us. Our blood is his blood. We are bloodline people. That's why I don't get hung up on beliefs. I don't. We have people here that are Messianic, non-Messianic, Torah only. Everybody is welcome. Because we still brothers and sisters by blood, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, and I don't expect people to understand, because most of the time the people who are not awake, they don't understand. Somebody told me, I can't believe that God, the loving God that we know, has separated himself and have a people by himself, and the rest of the people is just out there. I just can't believe that. I said, well, I mean, you know, you have to understand. You have to open up your eyes for you to see that he did choose the people, and that's never changed. The whole Old Testament, from the time that Abraham was called, all the way up through the book of Malachi, is about the children of Israel. All of the prophets was Israelites. All the way through the whole Bible, all the prophets was Israelites. Every last one of them. So, I mean, you know, we have to understand that this book is about us and the other nations and how the Most High has manipulated and changed the other nations for his benefit, so that they could either punish us, or they could either house us or protect us, or however he used them is what it was for. And you know, and it's just, you know, when you understand, that's why you can't, you know what, the Old Testament is so rich. That's why I told y'all, we haven't even scratched the surface. We haven't even. It's so much in there. You know, to understand that the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant was blue. In our mind, we have so many movies. The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston coming down off that mountain with them little brown, nasty-looking rocks. Them rocks was blue. And blue represents the law. That's why when we wear our ZZs on our clothes, we have to have a string of blue. Because blue represents the law. That's why when we go to Washington, D.C., we're going to have blue on our head coverings. Blue. Because it represents the law. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand it. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it is very interesting that, you know, a lot of people don't know it. You know, and when you listen, because sometimes I'm at work, I listen to some of the preachers, and I was listening to a preacher. I didn't give his name. I might give his name once over it. But he was preaching about the Messiah, and when the lady came up to him and asked him to heal her, and he was telling her, why should I give the children's food to the dogs? And then she turned around and said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And, you know, I'm listening to, you know, this mess, because it was just a mess. But then, he broke out with, he broke out with, this is very unique because she wasn't in covenant with him. Because he told her that he came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she wasn't in covenant with him. But he blessed her anyway. And everybody went to whooping and hollering and screaming and stomping and jumping. And I'm looking at all these black people like, you dummy, you the one that's got the covenant. And that might have been one incident out of millions, but you're the one with the covenant. And again, they're preaching to you like you're the second-class citizen that ought to be glad to be able to be grafted in. No, it is your covenant in the first place. But when you understand it and you listen to it, it's like, this is ridiculous stuff right here. But that's what tickles the ears of the people who are sitting in the church today, because their eyes aren't open. And they add music to it, and they add all kind of chorus singing with it, and the people feel like that's church, and it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. And this pastor can sing. I mean, he sure enough can sing. You know, and it's like, you know, stick to singing. Because the other stuff is just really moot, because nobody is really, you know, and it gets them excited, and they get to jumping and hopping and flipping and jerking, and it's like, no, this can't be it. So, I mean, you know, can you guys still hear me? If you can hear me, push one. Somebody push one. I guess you can still hear me because ain't nobody hung up yet. Anybody hear me? Can you put area code 928? Okay, I got you. Thank you much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for pushing one. So it has been an experience, to say the least. It's been a very interesting experience to hear this, you know, but as we move forward and moving forward, we do what we have to do. We give them the information, we do what we need to do, and we keep it moving. That's all you can do. Because it's not time for them to know. It's not time for their eyes to be open. They just will not know. You know, but nevertheless, you know, it's a joy. It's like a jewel that we have, you know, and we covet it. We keep it to ourselves as much as we can. To walk around and know that you're Israel and know who you are and know that he's our God. Woo! You know, powerful. You know, do I sometimes get frustrated with this place? Yes. Do I sometimes not want to be bothered with this place? Yes. And I hope you guys, that you guys push one to want to talk, you know, because I'm going to open up your mic. If not, just tell me I didn't push one to talk. Hold on. Area code 928, your mic is open. Did you want to say something?
Yes, ma'am. Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm just saying, I'm listening to everything you're saying. You're so right. I get like that, too. Sometimes I don't want to be bothered with this place. But, you know, we just keep moving on. And, you know, I don't want to be bothered with work. I don't want to be bothered with these things. But these are things that we have to do, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more you know, learn, the more you know, the more you start to really understand what's really going on. Because it took a while to really grasp what's going on with us as a people and as a nation. It took a while. This is more of a religious thing, and then you get it starts to become personal.
Mm-hmm.
Then it starts to become very real because you see all this stuff and you're saying, what were we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You know, especially from a man's point of view, it has to be, you know, I don't know how you all feel, you know, in terms of knowing now, you know, that there is a different outcome for you. You know, I mean, from a female standpoint, you know, it's very powerful, you know, to know. But from a man's point of view and being Israel, it's a whole different ballgame.
You know, I tell you one thing, it is humbling. Because, you know, a lot of us as men, you know, we got these big egos. You know, we all powerful, we know all, and, you know, men don't want to let that go. A lot of brothers don't. But when you really immerse yourself into this, it is a very humbling thing. Very humbling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that God is going to deal directly with you. You know, that he's going to deal directly with you. And then, you know, and that right there is woo. No.
And you know something else is it's the fact that when you really start to fully understand how it was back in the day, it makes you more responsible as a husband and as a father, because this is all on you.
Yeah.
You need to get yourself up, and you need to. It makes you more responsible because you're looking at the thing not from a trivial standpoint, but you're looking at the things that your children are doing. You're scrutinizing the thing that your children and your wife are doing. Say, hey, well, let's try to do it this way. Thus says the Most High. This is what we need to be doing. When you really immerse yourself, you start doing that. You start wanting to take care of your spouse in a very loving and kind way. You want to do those things because this is how it's set up.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? You see so many women on YouTube and different people that have had experiences in some of these camps and have just been mistreated and taken advantage of. And I don't really talk about any camps in particular, but as a nation, we have to change that. And the best way to change that is by example. And I've always wanted the nation of Yehuda to be different when it came to that, because we have to train our young men, you know, how to be men and how to take care of their family. And not in a bully fashion, because I know a lot of people, and I don't mean any harm by this, but a lot of young men and older men feel like the way to lead is by being bullyish, and it's not, you know, because you know we have to be able to show them how to be head of their house without being a taskmaster, because and a lot of that is because nobody ever showed the next guy how to do it. So, you know, they start out with this bully mentality, and it usually ends up very wrong.
Yeah,
it usually ends up very wrong. It does.
I agree with that. I agree with that. We didn't have those examples as young men growing up. We didn't always have, a lot of us didn't have those examples. You know, fortunately for myself, I was able to find a good example in my grandpa. Both of them, you know, they were, in my opinion, they were the best men I could ever even imagine, in the way they treated, you know, my grandmothers. You know, they really loved them and cared, and that was just fortunate enough for me to be able to see that.
We need to see more of that. And I think that the radio show has helped a lot of people. I don't mean to blow our own horn and pat ourselves on the back, but Israel needed to hear the mutual respect for each other. They needed to hear that, you know, because when I came on the scene, it was one-sided. It was get somewhere and sit down and shut your mouth. And I'm like, oh, hold up now. Wait, whoa, let's back this up some, because that's not going to work over here. You know, and that's not how y'all operate either.
That's
you know,
correct.
And for a while it was flying. You know, really? And it's like, no, that's not gonna work. Because we have to do this together jointly, and the world has to see how we care for one another and not how we beat each other down and dominate each other, because that's not love. That's not what love is.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not, and that's, you know, it goes into a lot of stuff, but I'll say this much, and you know, I'm just being smart now, but I know for a fact, if I came here and told my wife that, boy, I probably had a frying pan upside my head before that over with.
But it's a lot of men like that in Israel, a lot.
But you know, if you love people the right way and do this the way y'all set it up, and be a, you know, and I wanted to put this out there, you know, and I've seen a lot of brothers deal with this, and they'll say those things that, yeah, I'm the man of the house. How you gonna be a man of the house and you ain't bringing no money in the house? How you gonna be a man of the house when the woman taking care of all your responsibilities? but you do have responsibilities as being a man. How you going to say any of those things when you're not giving her the love and nourishment and the things that she needs? You can't claim all that stuff.
I agree. And then the women too at the same time, because like I said, we have to start, and we're going to do this. We're going to wait until we may wait. I don't know. We'll have to see. But we are definitely going to have a women's call just for women so that we can help our women, you know, because, you know, we have been dealt a raw hand too. I mean, you know, and the whole scheme of the thing was to degrade the black man and you know, promote the black woman. You know, and that gave us that was not the best thing that could have happened to us, you know, as a people, because that's not how the order is supposed to be, you know. But now that we're coming into the knowledge of who we are and whose we are, the Most High will restore the order the way that it's supposed to be, and the love that is supposed to be there, you know, because, you know, and the men are angry, and they're you know, justifiably so, they're angry, you know, and the women are haughty, and they're angry.
Yeah.
They're angry, because nobody wants to be the mother and the father. That's too much for any one person.
Yeah.
That's too much, you know. We're coming. We're getting there. We're getting there, brother. We're getting there one day at a time, one step at a time. And like I said, Israel needed to hear the mutual respect, you know, that we have for each other, not just male, female, but Messianic and non-Messianic, Torah only. They needed to hear that as a people, you know, because it was brutal when I first came. I was like, who are these people? What is going on? I mean, it was like a war zone. And this one over here was debating with this one, and these over here was cussing these over here out, and this was going. And I was like, these cannot be the people that the Bible is talking about. But when you start to look deep in it, you realize that it was an open wound. And, you know, and the Most High they wouldn't allow the Most High to heal the wound because everybody wanted to be right. You know, and now when I started to go into some of the groups that were non-Messianic, because I did it first. I went into the non-Messianic group, and you know, and showed love, and they showed love back to me, you know. And it was like, you know, you're not going to change who I am and what I believe, but we still family at the end of the day, you know. And it took a long time, but I'm telling you, I have seen a lot of changes happen between the children of Israel and the Hebrew Israelites because, you know, everybody's tired of beefing. They tired of beefing. It's like, let's stop beefing.
I agree.
No. Let's come together. You know, right now in Cincinnati, we got a festival going on. It's Messianic and non-Messianic coming together. And they getting to know each other. They kids is playing together. I mean, then we a nation. When I talked to Yahshua, he said that they took, I don't want to over-exaggerate, I'm going to just say a 70 children to the show to see the Black Panther movie. It was way more than that. I know it was in the hundreds. They got the kids together and took them to see the Black Panther movie. I can't even imagine all them kids in one place. But just the camaraderie of being able to come together with no beef and no debating, no none of that. Let's get together like family. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Some of them sisters can't cook. When I tell you they can cook, I thought I could cook. I really did. I thought I was doing a little something in the kitchen. But when I met them Israelite sisters, and them Israelite sisters didn't eat no meat, and they was cooking their food with no meat seasoning too, them sisters can throw down. When I tell you, they don't even play. I'm like, why don't you just get a YouTube channel going so we can, I mean, the food was like, they make ice cream without any cream. Okay? And I'm like, man, I mean, and the ones that was eating meat, them girls can burn, and they cook clean. And when they say, oh, no, sis, we cook clean. And I was like, clean? What you mean clean? She said, well, we follow the dietary law. And I mean, when they start showing and we start researching and finding out what we could and couldn't eat, look, beautiful. Skin beautiful. This lady walked up to me today, and I was just sitting in the store waiting on Malcolm to do something. And she just walked past me. She said, you are a beautiful woman. And I was like, wow. You know, I was just sitting there. I wasn't paying her noise. I didn't even see the lady. I said, wow, thanks. She said, your skin is beautiful. You know, and I said, all praises to the Most High God. But it's the diet.
Uh-huh.
It's the diet. We eat. When we see our people, we supposed to be like that when people see us. Who is them people over there? You know, I mean, I got some other issues I got to work with, but I just didn't expect that. She just came out of the blue. And I'm like, wow, well, thank you. And you know, it's the diet. It's everything to do with the food that you put in your mouth. And when them sisters showed us how to do it right, they can burn. I'm telling you, it's so much we have to learn from each other that we cannot afford to waste no more time being angry.
No, I agree. It's a lot we can learn from each other.
Oh, my goodness. Brother Yerushalayim, we had a feast of the trumpet, and one of the sisters came from Atlanta. That sister made some corn, and I don't know what she put in that corn, but that's the best corn I ever had in my whole life. I was like, Lord, that corn was, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I still remember it. That was about 5 or 6 years ago. Woo! They don't play. Hold on, let me get this mic over. Area code 75. I'm going to leave your mic over, Brother Rashilon. 757, your mic is over. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom.
Area code. Shalom.
I just wanted to, I was listening to what you were saying, and I just wanted to, I don't know how to say it. It's just, I understand what you're saying, you know, that we, you know, should stop feuding and fighting and stuff, especially like between the non-messianic and messianic. It's just that for me, no, just for me. I'm all with them when it comes to, yeah, you know, we need to come together to a certain point. But sometimes, this is just for me, and I got to admit, this is something in my life. When I hear a lot of those, like the doctrines that they like to spew, when they talk about Joseph is a daddy and talk about the Messiah's mom, see, that's a problem for me. That is a problem for me, and I will admit that I can get along with everything else, but that kind of offends me a little bit. So I just, you know, because we have them here on our corners and stuff, and I look at them, and yeah, I appreciate that they're out there and they're really burning the oil, trying to get the word out, and a lot of times when people pass them, you know, that people are throwing insults at them too, and I know it's wrong, it's wrong, and they're trying to defend themselves. And but, you know, sometimes when they're out there and they, you know, certain people walk around and walk by and you are this and that and the other, and when they do it to your own people that look like you, it strains the relationship. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I say it doesn't bother me. It does bother me.
Because
you got some of them, they believe that they the third in command. I'm like, command of what? And then I'm being honest with you now, and they come out that some of them they reincarnate, and I'm like, you know, see, this kind of bull stuff, it's unnecessary, and you're not gonna draw people like that. You're not going
right,
to, because the Christians are coming. We got churches on every corner where I live at. Do you honestly think them people are going to listen to them?
Look at it like this. I agree with you 100%. There are some that are off the wall. They take it to the extreme. Those are the novice. Those are the unlearned. And the Most High will deal with them at a certain time, because let me tell you what's going to happen as far as the street preachers are concerned. Those are the ones that are going to be on the front line when all this stuff hit the fan. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't even started yet. It has not even started yet. You know, the Bible says that men's hearts are going to fail them for what their eyes are going to see. Do you know what that means? What does that mean to you when you hear that, when it says men's hearts are going to fail them for what their eyes are going to see? What do you think that means?
To me, it means utter amazing. I mean, even though you believe, you're seeing it, you just can't believe it. You know, it's happening. You know, it's so, I guess, and I'm so all out there. But, I mean, you know.
Guess what? It's going to scare the mess, and I'm going to use mess as a nice word. It's going to scare the mess out of some folks, even Israel.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to see some stuff that's going to scare the mess out of you. That's the nicest word that I can use according to the Bible, because it says it's going to be a day that has never been nor ever will be in the history of the world. So it's going to be, they're getting ready to see some stuff that they have never seen with their natural eyes. That means giants. That means chimeras that's half human and half animal. That means you're getting ready to see some reptilians that's going to change from human to lizard, upright lizard walking people. That means you're going to see demons. That means you're getting ready to see angels in the sky. You're getting ready to see frightful things that is going to scare the mess out of you. And you know what it's going to do? I'm going to tell you what it's getting ready to do. It's going to separate the men from the boys. And I promise you, the ones that's out there that's a novice, they coming inside. They won't be out there no more. I promise you.
Well,
that's a promise I'm going to make to you. Now, the true soldiers, that showing up soldiers and they out there for y'all, it's going to scare the mess out of them too. But y'all going to give them a heart that's going to be able to handle what, but I'm telling you, we ain't even, girl, we ain't even got started yet. That's why I tell everybody, brace yourself, because this is getting ready to get ugly, because anytime Lucifer is able to run loose and do what he want to do, it's getting ready to get ugly. We already in shock about the whole, weren't you the one who told me about the cannibal stuff?
The cannibals?
Well, they got a cannibal club now where people die.
Oh, no.
They can donate.
Oh, no, that was somebody else.
They can donate their body to this cannibal club, and when they die, this special chef comes in and cooks up these people's body, and their family come and eat their body.
Yeah.
This is happening for real.
But all I know, since Israel, we have our own set of problems, and I'm not trying to, you know, down talk the camps and stuff, because some of these camps, I'm not trying to be funny, they are far out there. I mean, they have
supported
their own people. They got people in other countries, and put the people money. People can't get back here. It is some crazy stuff that they be doing.
I know it is.
Not even talking about the Christian. It's in the Christian churches too. They be doing some crazy. These people, they don't want to hear nothing. They see it. I know they see some of this stuff. And they just refuse to listen. They just refuse to. They will crucify you if they could.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep your mouth closed. Just to keep your mouth closed.
Yeah.
And I just be like, Lord have mercy.
This is the real deal. You get ready to have good against evil. And then guess what? And evil is in every turn, everywhere you turn. It's over here too. The devil over here too. He dressing just like an Israelite. He's looking like an Israelite. He sounding like an Israelite. He over here too.
Yes, I believe that. I believe they, you know,
so
a lot
you
of these
just
people,
gotta
I
know
believe
the
difference.
Now they can, it's getting ready to get ugly, honey, to the point where you ain't seen. Now hold on, let me get this mic over. Area code 337, your mic is open. Go ahead, you on the air.
Yeah, I was just commenting on what you said earlier about people not going to listen, whether it's Methuselah and Noah.
And Lamech preached to the people for 120 years, and they didn't listen. And then the main thing that happened is when Israel ceased to be a nation, when you understand the scriptures, the truth was lost. That's got a lot to do with what's going to happen when men's hearts going to fail them, because the truth going to be seen. And they ain't not going to find them in their mind that what the truth really is.
I agree 100%.
And a good word for that was poop.
No, it's just you wait and see. That's all I can tell you. But they ain't gonna be outside no more. It's gonna take a true soldier. When I tell you a true soldier, a sure enough true soldier. You know what I'm saying? To be able to go, even you gotta think about when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. You know, the spies came back and said, We can't go up against them folks. Them people is huge. We look like ants compared to them. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. But what did Joshua say? He said, if the Most High said we can take them, we taking them. So it was even in that, with the mixture of folks, we still had some that came back and gave a bad report. And it's going to be the same way now. It's like, why they out there? There ain't nothing happening, and it's good. Everybody out there hooping and hollering and spewing all kind of stuff. But in a minute for you to be out there, you're going to have some showing up, and everybody ain't going. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Them ones, and some of them ones, I ain't talking about all of them, but some of them ones that's out there that's talking stuff that they really shouldn't be talking, all that's going to come to a cease. Because it's the men that he's going to use. Thank God that the women ain't got to be out there doing all that. It's the men that he's going to use to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad. Because I plan on being in the house with the dough shed. I mean, for real. I'll be the intercessor, but shoot. I mean, for real. There's going to be some stuff. You're going to see some frightful things in the sky. Frightful things. How you come out your house one day and then you just see a being sitting up in the sky with his legs crossed, looking down at everybody. That's got a mess out of you. A mess. Just sitting there. You ain't got to worry about that. That's all going to stop in a minute, in just a short minute. Just hold on. Just hold on. If the supernatural sightings don't come first, then believe me, they're going to try to pass some sort of law where you're not going to be able to be out there doing what they're doing. And it's really to the detriment of the community if they stop it. Because some of the people are being warned by them. You know what I'm saying? You got some out there that's a little off the wall. But the Most High has, I believe he has them out there doing that for a reason. And some of them, yeah, I don't agree with the way they do and what they say, all of them. But I've seen some that are very good at what they do, and they out there. Do I believe everything they say? No. No. You know, but if you can come up and say, even if they can just put it in your mouth and say, well, I wonder if I am Israel. Let me go check and let me go pray. They've done their job. Yeah. So it's going to get interesting. I'm telling you, we be waiting on it every day, every moment, like, oh, my gosh, I hope. And, you know, the sky be turning black and the wind be blowing all out of the ordinary. It be snowing in places, ain't got no business snowing, and raining and hailing in places, and tornadoes and tsunamis everywhere, and all kind of stuff jumping up, and that's just the weather. We ain't seen none yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I plan on staying in the house until the Most High say it's time. And we still got to go to work. When all that stuff start happening, you still got to work every day. No, one spaceship, that's all it's going to take is for one to show up. That's the size of two football fields. That's blocking the sun and blocking the sun from two or three neighborhoods, and you can't see past it. And you looking up and knowing that ain't the way the sky's supposed to look. And when you look up in the sky, it's light coming up out of the bottom of it. All it's going to take is one. Shoot. But they coming because the Bible said they coming. And them folks going to be in them churches on their knees hooping and howling and crying. They ain't going to mean nothing because it ain't going to change nothing. So, I mean, you know, you would just hold on. They having their heyday and they having their moment. But for the ones that's out there that's novice, Oh, no. You know, for real. And wait a minute. And, and the spies went over into the land and saw the giants eating the people. He said, they saw them. He said, they are eating the inhabitants. They're devouring the inhabitants thereof. They actually saw them eating the people. Can you imagine? Just pulling some, picking up a person, one of the people out that's running from them, picking them up and just chewing their leg off. Shoot. They came back running like, oh, no, that ain't going to work. They tell the doctor, we ain't going to do all that. Them people big. That's what the scriptures say. They are devouring the inhabitants thereof. That means they were eating the people alive. They saw some stuff, and they still messed up. That's what I don't get. It's like, how did you see that, and you still went against y'all? So, you just brace yourself, pray for them, and keep it moving. But the time's coming. It's coming. You know, you're going to see what it really is. It ain't no joke. That is real talk. It's like, look here, I don't know, but all you can do is pray. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you. Woo-wee. Mercy. You're going to have to cry mercy on because ain't nobody going to be outside. Ain't nobody going to be outside. I promise none. And if the ones do come out there, they're going to have some showing up with y'all to be able to stand out there and preach that under those circumstances. We need to be quiet. But anyway, that's just, where we are today. Those are the things that we have to deal with. Right now, it may be annoying to you, but he got a way to separate the shift out there more. He got his own way. And thank God it's the men, like I said again. Because no. And they tell all the little preachers going to run because they're going to be scared too. They're going to rebel, and the people going to come after them because they've been teaching false truths. Yeah. So, it's all getting ready to come to a cease. Can you imagine all the people in Christianity that's been believing this stuff all this time, and then when we get to the point and don't nothing happen, and they looking at all this stuff is going on in the sky and they ain't gone nowhere. It's going to be ugly. But all you can do is pray for them because they chose to listen to what the man told them and they chose to believe it. And y'all going to take a moment, open up their eyes, and they're going to have to make a choice and they're going to have to choose however. So it's coming. No, it's coming. We just got to have faith, and trust y'all. This is going to be a time that we're going to really have to trust him, all of us on this line, and all of us under the sound of our voice. We're going to have to trust him for real. Because we're going to have him on our side. We can't fear because he is all-powerful. He can deal with it all. But it's always some death-defying stuff. They don't never think it's smooth because it ain't. It's some death-defying stuff all the time. All the time. But we'll get through it. We already got hybrids coming to school with us. We got the black-eyed children. Don't nobody know where they came from. They just came out of nowhere. We got the hybrid children that are here now. We got what we got. We got cloning going on. They're cloning the animals. They're cloning the meat. They're cloning the vegetables. Now they're talking about making beef in the lab. You know what I'm saying? They're cloning the horses. What else? What? You know, it gets real. But nevertheless, he said, Jacob shall be saved out of it. That's what he said. And that's what we stand by. And believe me, there's going to be many a day that we're going to have to walk outside and go to our cars and be like, Jacob shall be saved out of it. We're going to recite that thing while we walk into our cars. Because the stuff's going to be up in the air. You're going to be like, Lord, Jacob shall be saved out of it. Jacob shall be saved out of it. Thank you, Yah. Jacob shall be saved. Now, we're going to have to do that to get through the day.
Thank you, dog.
You don't see some stuff. Creatures and stuff. They seeing them now. It just ain't being prophesied. They seeing them now. Talking about they got angels in suspended animation.
You know what that reminds me of? The movie Independence Day?
Yeah.
How the spaceship showed up. I'm kind of a scientific person, you know, because, you know, since I've been with you guys, I had never given it much thought that, you know, these things actually, you know, kind of existed, you know. So that is going to be something. I mean, you know.
You better say
how
that.
Do you go you outside and go to work?
Well, you're going to have to. It's going to shut it down for a minute, sis. That first day, it's going to shut it down. I see you, Sister Malia. It's going to shut it down. But I was watching. I told you I was up real early, like 3 o'clock in the morning years ago, and they was interviewing Louis Farrakhan, Ted Copperwood. And Louis Farrakhan, he said, and you always talking about the mothership is up there, and so and so and so and so. And Louis Farrakhan ran back in the chair. He said, you know it's up there, and I know it's up there. He said, y'all had the nerve to make a movie called Independence Day. He said, you know it's real and you know it's going to happen. Ted Copper said, I don't know none of the nothing. I don't know what you talking about. He said, you know it's up there. All fans are talking about is the wheel. And if y'all ain't never heard it, go to YouTube and pull it up. Farrakhan and the mothership. He talk about it all the time. Yes. They came in and they positioned themselves over every country, almost over every city. Hold on. Let me get her mic open. Area code 513. Go ahead. Your mic is open.
Shalom, sis. You know, I just wanted to throw out there, you know, we have so many people that are still in the Christian church, but society, the people in charge are getting ready to make a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting ready to be so much worship going on this planet. It's getting ready to really test who you are and who you serve. Because if you look up witchcraft, they having their first annual Christian witch convention in Salem. In Salem, Massachusetts. The first annual Christian witch convention. Who all from wherever, you know what, they don't look at them people sitting out there in that audience as regular people. They're looking at them people in a whole different kind of way. And most of them people have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. That's only one part of it. But they blatantly coming out to the forefront. We having our first annual Christian witch convention in April.
Yes, ma'am. I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
I mean, it's so much getting ready to come down the pipe. I mean, and that's why this time is so important to really get into these scriptures and come to class and listen, you know, just so you can have the consistent thought of staying on target and on point of knowing that the Most High is there, knowing that you're not by yourself. I mean, it's getting ready to get to a point where we're going to have to rely on each other. And, you know, he has a way of doing that as well. You know, you're getting ready to see who is who. And, I mean, people that will be standing in front of your face that have the jagged teeth. And it ain't getting ready to look like what it used to look like. And it ain't never going back to that. So we might as well get up out of that. That mindset. It's getting ready to change a whole different program, just like she was saying. And it's getting ready
like
to separate a whole lot of people.
Like you said, you got a kid at school with your sitting next to your child with no temperature. plea. Hybrids going to school with your kids. Robots going to school with your kids. But they can't mess with us because he said Jacob shall be saved out of it. He is absolutely correct. We ain't saying nothing yet. Just wait. And I'd be like, I'd be sitting here like, oh, y'all win if this stuff can hit the fan. Because when this hit the fan, these people are going to go berserk. They're going to lose it. But ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing. They said they got giants in suspended animation with their gear still on, waiting for the day that they awake and come back on the earth. Giants. And you right, you got some folks on YouTube that's teaching some crazy stuff. But they people ain't going to sit back and listen to that too much longer. They ain't.
Since I'm not answering this question concerning the giant, it's just, you know, you can scroll through YouTube, and they have, you know, like different documentaries and stuff, and they have, like, they say it's like the giants really existed, and some of these things that look like a hand is coming out of the ground, and somebody's face is on a rock, and a person's body. It's
leaving.
And I'm like, is this real?
Sister Levia can answer that. Sister Levia?
The mud fossils.
Yeah, is this stuff real?
Well, I mean, think about it. You think the whole world was in deluge. I mean, after that, it was mud.
Yes, ma'am.
God can't see it in the mud.
Animals look like they're just frozen fossil rock.
God, what in the world? And the stuff, I mean, I thought it was a hoax, you know, because I thought, the people, ancient people carved the turtle or whatever the thing is, and one in particular that really, really struck me. It's like the man or whatever the thing was just leaning against a big rock and just laying there, face, you can make out the eyes, nose, legs. I'm like, what in the world going on here? I thought somebody,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's what they said, petrified rock. That these beings actually live.
They said some of the giants was 50 feet tall. 50 feet.
Yeah.
You know, your mind can't even comprehend 50 feet.
Well, I tell you, that would be the day I ain't going to work. You can take me off the payroll, whatever you want to do. At that point, I don't care. You will not get me out there.
I said the whole earth going to shut down. At some point, it's going to shut down for a couple of days until people feel comfortable, you know, with coming out. Because you know what you notice? That these people coming out, they getting bigger and bigger and taller and taller. It ain't nothing for you to see somebody that's 7 feet tall now or over 7 feet. You know? And they gradually letting them come into society and gradually. And the minute you're going to see 8 feet. And then you're going to see 9 feet. And then you're going to see 10 feet. They said Nimrod was 12 feet tall. And I think the standard height for the ceiling is, what, 10 feet? Shoot. So he's too taller than the ceiling. It's like, listen, y'all doing too much. I mean, imagine that. Somebody come in your house and they set it so tall that they touch the ceiling to your house. But this is what they saw. They was bigger than that. And anytime we look like grasshoppers, do you know how small a grasshopper is? He said, we look like grasshoppers to them people. They are devouring the inhabitants. They're up.
I know. That's what bothers me. Because I'm like, if these things actually existed, come on, what we in for?
Yeah, and they're coming back up on the earth.
But sister, you realize
the American dream. That's what it was. It's they done sold us a whole bunch. I mean, they shaped our reality into what we think. I mean,
mm-hmm.
once you step out from behind it and start seeing it for what it really is, it's nothing
yep.
like what they done told you. Nothing.
No.
I mean,
and
whether you're watching line, I don't know if you want to share or not, but, you know, there's a lot of people on this line that's seen a whole lot of stuff. I ain't going to throw you out there, but it's a whole lot of people that's on this line that's seen a whole lot of stuff with their natural eye, for real. So, I
you
mean,
you
ain't
seen one of them?
Giants,
seen
yes.
the giant?
Beings, yes. Spaceships, yes.
Oh, you put me out there, but I'll say some things. It's some stuff out there. It's stuff out there. And it's unfortunate that our people don't see it or believe it, but it's stuff out there. And I'm going to share this with everybody. Years ago, I was a part of the Nuwapian Nation. And, oh, my God, the stuff I saw being with the Nuwapia Nation scared me to death. That guy they talking about. Go ahead.
You were part of what nation, I'm sorry?
I was, not no more, but
uh-huh.
I was a part of the Nuwapia Nation of Moors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was down in Putnam County, Georgia. I'm sure most people have heard about the guy that was building pyramids in Putnam County, Georgia.
No.
Well, you're one of the few. But this guy had convinced a lot of our people, us, me, that we were descendants of the Anunnaki, the ancient Egyptians, and all that stuff. He convinced us. He got us on the Hebrew kick on the tick for a lot of us because he was saying, oh, you're the Nubian Islamic Hebrews. That doesn't even make any sense that now that I'm awake. But he was mm-hmm. saying that. I watched something with him one day down there, and I can't explain it. He came outside, and there was probably 400 or 500 people there. And we was just all standing around. As soon as he came outside, everybody that was standing there for no reason started tearing up and crying, and nobody knew what that was. It was very weird. After that, because he always wore shades, after that, I was at an angle where I could see his eyes. Those were not human eyes. I can tell you that right now. I had a chill go up me. Those are not human eyes at all. That was something, I want to say it was reptilian or whatever. And by the way, that guy, they put him underground in prison. He's in an underground prison. No contact with any other humans. No contact. And that's factual. They put him in a regular prison, and all of a sudden, he had all the inmates and all the staff gravitating to him just like that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So they had to get rid of him. What that was, I don't know. Don't care to know mm-hmm. nothing else about it. Don't want to know nothing else about it. There were craft that actually came out there. There was even a news report where one of the white farmers next door to all this property he bought even described one of the craft that he saw come land over there. He said, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when they come, I'm going with them. And I mean, I'm sitting there like, wow, what was I fooling with? You know, and it's a lot of stuff out there. I remember talking to a colonel when I was in the military. And this colonel actually told me, without any, up at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, without any hesitation at all, yeah, aliens do exist. We are in contact, but most people are not going to believe it, no matter what we put out there. I could tell you everything right now, but you wouldn't believe it, and most people wouldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Because you're in your own little world.
Woo! I'm telling you. I told y'all, I have no idea. You just don't know. I'm telling you. You think we just be talking. We ain't talking just to be talking. Spaceships and stuff, real ones. My son said him and his little friend was playing in the Catholic parking lot, and they was about, I guess he was about maybe 9 or 10, maybe 11. And he said all of a sudden out of nowhere this spacecraft just appeared like poof. He said, and we was just stunned. We was looking up at it like, wow. He said, and then all of a sudden it just dematerialized before their eyes. I said, Lord, hold on, let me get this mic open. Area code 210, your mic is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. Yaina, I know that I spoke to you a long time ago, and I said this, two points. I spoke to a lady when I was 19 years old in Canada, standing in line at the amusement park. I turned around and looked at her, and just happened to glance at her and her friend because they were speaking Pig Latin in a different type of dialect that I didn't know, but I did speak Pig Latin. And I looked at her eyes, and her eyes were in the shape of a reptilian. I know exactly, you know, I certainly wouldn't stand here knowing that and lie to the Most High's people, knowing that I've got to give an account of it one day. We have to open up our eyes because the Most High has given a lot of us a sense. When you look at people on TV, and there's just not something right about them. You know that you're not looking at humans.
Mm-hmm.
There's not only aliens.
Aliens
aren't aliens. They're fallen angels. And there are probably beings from other places that are coming here, and they dress up in these earth suits. Because I don't think man has any creativity. He's always working off of something he knows or he has seen. Because he's not creating anything. He's only bringing what already is here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have
mm-hmm.
to parade here on this earth in something. But I can look at these movies and my husband gets so angry with me and my kids walk away because they think I'm crazy. But they have supernatural experiences as well. But I'll look at the TV and I'll see people on TV. And the thing I look at when I'm looking at another human is their neck. I know how my neck is positioned. I know the way that the Most High has formulated our neck. You know, we have the esophagus right there and it pokes out. But if you look at people on TV, all of these women look androgynous. Their hands are big as heck. Their feet are big as heck. They got long necks and their shoulders slump. That's how you know it's a man. They're androgynous, period. And if you look at their necks, it's like it fans out. Like they don't even have an esophagus, like it's been scooped out. And their necks become, you've really got to open up your eyes because the Most High has given us eyes to see. That sister that said something earlier, that was the best explanation I ever heard, that we've been conditioned in order to, they programmed us to see something that isn't. Our reality is what they fashioned it to be. It's totally different. It's perception. And our eyes are coming, you know, we're starting to focus and to come into view because these people aren't playing anymore. They're worshiping their God openly, and they don't care. So you know what? I don't care either. I'm going to worship the Most High, and, you know, prayerfully, as I get bolder, he'll give me more boldness. But I think we got to just walk in that boldness, and he'll give us what we need.
Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High.
But sis, I'm gonna tell you, when I was, you know, you know, you hear stuff and you hear people talk about, you know, they're reptilians and this, that person is reptilian, the eye chip thing. I just never really paid it much attention. I just thought, you know, that they were just kind of out there, you know, how people do conspiracy theories and this, that, and the other, you know, you're into that. But I mean, I never really given it much thought that, you know, these kind of things happen. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, because if you're not really open to that, or you know, really, but I mean, I'm looking now. I'm looking, I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because they be saying some trouble things. They be saying this person is a reptile, and hey, look at the eyes, and this and that. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I thought maybe it was a trick of the camera. You know how people do stuff. I had no idea that this was really happening and this and that. But I remember
when I was a teenager, my brother, he was, well, my older brother, he was in the military, and he was saying that they were out in the desert one night, and he said that they all saw a UFO. And I didn't, you know, I never made much, you know, fuss about it. I didn't ask him, you know, questions, and he said that they were instructed not to say anything. So, I mean, it could very well be some stuff out there because, I mean, with this Trump, the Space Force, and I heard something the other day, they were saying they were trying to, they want to destroy Saturn, the planet of Saturn. I'm trying to figure out saving the world. Why would you want to destroy the planet of Saturn? So, you know, so we really don't, I guess we don't know. But I will tell you one thing, if, you know, if I saw something like that, I would be a 100% bona fide believer. If you see
you
something
will.
Like that, yeah. But
you
I just, you know, I'm not saying I want to now. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, that's just not normal. But I keep hearing rumblings and stuff, and then I just thought people making the stuff up. I didn't know, you know.
Rick, there is a YouTube video out, and this is the name of it. It says Black women killed reptilians in the 1950s in the South based on a true story. It's 8 minutes and it's 33 seconds long. It says Black women killed reptilians in the 1950s in the South based on a true story. I'm going to say it again so you guys can write it down. When this class is over, look at the YouTube clip. It's called Black Women Killed in the 1950s in the South based on a true story.
Okay.
And the way it looks is you got a reptilian on there, you got a black woman with a shotgun, and you have a UFO on the front of it, and it's 8 minutes and 33 seconds long. And this lady gives her testimony where her aunt, I think it is, was telling the story about how her and her husband ran into one of them and what happened. So, I mean, you know, this is getting ready to get interesting. And like I said, you know, they I don't know a lot about them other than what the Most High has revealed, you know, through different things that I've seen and, you know, different things. Because we were learning about this years ago before the internet even came up. They was bringing pictures and saucers and all kinds of stuff and everything. You know, and so that's when I learned about the new Wabi and Moors and that they had that kind of activity going on and the spaceships was coming down and they called them the Ancient Ones was coming off the ships. And then, you know, when I found somebody who could confirm it, who was actually on the campground, you know, so it's not something that's so far-fetched that we don't know what we're talking about. You know, this is real. You know, we just have to when you get a chance today, when we get ready to go, because we can end the show, when you get a moment, pull that up, and it's 8 minutes and 33 seconds long. It talks about her experience that she had with a reptilian in the 1950s. You know, and then Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, I had an uncle that was stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. He is absolutely right. You can't even go on certain areas or you will be shot and killed. In certain places on the Air Force Base, you're not even allowed, you can't even get to. They say that's where they took the giant of Kandahar was, is to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The one that they found in Afghanistan that ate up that platoon. He ate the platoon, and the second platoon went to look for him, and he came, looked for their colleague, and saw all the bombs and stuff on the ground, and the radio equipment on the ground. And he came out of the cave after them, and they killed him. What were you saying, Brother Yerushalayim?
I was saying that is so true. They went in there, and that thing came out, and they killed one of them also, one of the guys in the second platoon.
Sure did. And they said he smelled horrible, but he had six fingers and six toes, double rows of teeth. He had red hair, and he was a brown skin color. They said you would have thought that he was a light skin color, a white color, but he wasn't. He came up out that cave, they said, and he moved quick. And he had put one of the soldiers on a skew stick and start eating. And they shot him down and took him, they lifted him up on one of them aircrafts and flew him to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That's right up the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. That's why I say let the little street preachers just out there hooping, holler, let them stand out there and let them hoop and holler for as long as they can, because I promise you, when that kind of stuff is going to happen, ain't nobody going to be outside. Ain't nobody going to be outside. Ain't going to be none of that.
Nope.
It's going to come to a cease.
No, they already talking about how this stuff is changing so fast and stuff. I don't know if you guys watch a little. It's some guy on YouTube that's making videos of all these things that are going on in the earth each week. And it is increasing at a rate that you will not believe. The things that are going on, is, you know, just like Saudi, what is it, Egypt. Egypt just got hit with another biblical-sized plague of locusts this past week. They're saying, hey, is he coming back again?
Right, they just got rid of them bugs in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and they hit Egypt last week. And I mean, it's just so much stuff is going on that, you know, I don't think that most of us really paying attention to that, but it's so much that's going on every day. And they're not reporting this stuff. They're not talking about this stuff. There's a group called T.O. Ministries. He just did a video about 3 days ago of the desert shell and the desert shell bloom. If you watch that video and you'll see what's going on in Saudi Arabia, how that place is, you know that Yah is real, because they're not showing it on TV, but it's turning green. It's starting to get vegetation. It's starting to be like quote unquote prepared. And they're not talking about it.
No. And what it say, trees gonna grow up in the desert. Water going to appear from nowhere. That's the wilderness. That's what he's preparing for us. I can't wait. I'm telling you. I got to see that. What is the video called now? Because I really want to see that one.
It's by T.O. Ministries. T-E-O-T-W. The end of the world. That's what it stands for. If you pull up T.O. Ministries, and you'll see the one they did 3 days ago called The Desert Shell Bloom.
Okay, let me pull up T.O. Ministries, The Desert Shell Bloom. And that's what the scriptures say.
Yep. And that's what he was putting in there, too. He said, this is exactly what the scriptures are talking about.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Because it ain't nothing going on anyway that's worth having. This ain't nothing. And my family get so mad at me when I say that. Where you going? You ain't going. Yes, I am too, honey. I am out of here. I can't get out of here fast enough. Here it is, the desert shell bloom. It's 29 minutes and 51 seconds long. Wow. Wow. All right, well, guess what? Are we getting ready to end the show? We got enough to look at after the show. I know everybody got their computers up, and they watching all these videos, and we want you to watch them. And enjoy yourself, because this is our story, and this is the prophecy being filled, because the Most High's word is not going to come back void. I hope you all have enjoyed the show today, because I have. And we're going to look forward, because we'll be here Tuesday night, so we can do the same thing Tuesday night to encourage each other and keep it moving. And I hope you guys have had a wonderful experience with this first day of the week, because I have.
I have too.
Now, so what we're going to do is we're going to go up the list, and you at home, somebody just push one. 773, go ahead, your mic is open, you're on the air. Air code 773. We can't hear you. Hello? All right, I guess they don't have a whole lot to say. Area code 210, what would you like to say to the people before we dismiss? 210?
Sorry, I have my phone muted and it walked away. I just want to say, keep our eye on the prize and pray the Most High. These are exciting times, although they can be a little scared. They're exciting times. Our captain He's almost over.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Area code 757, what would you like to say?
Y'all have a blessed week, and just keep believing, because I know the Most High is going to save us all of this.
All right. And Brother Chirashalon, what would you like to say?
Just say shalom. Hope everybody have a peaceful week, and let's pray for our families and our people in our nation and our teachers that are sent to teach and guide us.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise the Most High, Yah. Sis 928, sis, what would you have to say? Air code 928? 257? Maybe she walked away from the phone. We just say, and on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you back here Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to watch those YouTube clips, because I'm getting ready to cut mine on right now. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Good night.